It's Thursday, November 4th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz's Smart. You were powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. And normally in this show, we just talk about picks, college football and NFL. But man, a lot has happened in the NFL in the last 48 hours. Aaron Rodgers out this weekend. Odell and some drama in Cleveland. And there's a lot happening, Matt. So we're going to get to the news of the day and the week first before we get to our college picks and our NFL picks. Two straight weeks of winning NFL picks. Again, in the Pac-12 conference, I am hot as can be. Matt, how are you, buddy? The NFL is never short of drama.
Never short, Jeff. The trade deadline came and went. Aaron Rodgers made news. And I mean, this to me, this feels like just the world conspiring to take away minutes where I could be bragging about taking the Jets last week. That's that's what it feels like. I had this whole, I was like, oh, I'm just going to come in hot and just be fired up about my amazing prediction that I get one right per year. That's it, so, you know, from now on. But yeah, we've got plenty to talk about. So why don't I stop joking around and get to this enormous story about Aaron Rodgers. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon, so this could change by the time people hear some of this. But it turns out that Aaron Rodgers is ruled out for the Packers game against the Chiefs Sunday. This was this game we were all looking forward to. We'll get to the line move in a second, but it was revealed that Rodgers is actually unvaccinated and that he sort of was trying to go around the NFL's regulations to get an approval for an alternative treatment. And the air quotes were there for the audio listeners here. Jeff, I mean, where do you even want to start? I mean, we can obviously talk about the football impact here, but like there's a lot of ways to go. Yeah. Floor is yours.
So it's reported that Aaron Rodgers received homeopathic treatment from his personal doctor to raise antibody levels and asked the NFL to review his status. The NFL, the NFLPA, and the joint docs ruled he's unvaccinated and therefore he is considered unvaccinated. And here's the thing that is surprising to me is not every player in the NFL, and I hate that we have the shot and the vaccine have gone so political, but not everyone in the NFL is like a left-leaning, you know, political-leaning ideology, right? And there are players in the NFL that I think would not take the shot if not for having to win Super Bowls. Like Tom Brady, for example, who has lived his entire existence, TB12 method, right? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to eat differently. I'm going to prepare differently. I'm going to do this and do that. Got the shot because he wants to win football games, right? I'm a Chiefs fan. Pat Mahomes came out early and said, I got the shot. I want to win football games, right? And for Aaron Rodgers to not do this, it's very strange. This might cost him the number one seed. And if it does, they're not going back to the Super Bowl. Sorry, they're not doing it. And if you're the Packers, and I thought Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers' situation has calmed down, right? Like it's kind of calmed down. They're winning football games. Rodgers appears to be having fun in Green Bay. I thought there was no way he was gone after the season, even though there was the offseason brouhaha, whatever. But now, I mean, he's absolutely gone, no matter how good Jordan Love plays, because how do you rely on your quarterback when now he's probably out 2 weeks, he's unvaccinated, and there's a shitstorm coming up because he's not following the protocols, it appears. He's not wearing a mask when he should in public settings. And there's a lot coming down the Packers because of this. But to me, it comes back to the selfishness, right? Again, you might disagree with the mandate. There is no mandate in the NFL. You might disagree with how they handled or are they handling vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. But the truth is, if you wanted to win the season at the highest level, you would have sacrificed some of your beliefs for the betterment of your team. And Rodgers just did not do that.
Lots to react to. I want to say this first. I think that the story here is just kind of beginning. Like with everything with Aaron Rodgers for the last year, it seems like it just never ends. Like what's going to happen now? A lot of people on social media have flagged all these videos of Aaron Rodgers violating what it appears to be violating these protocols, which the NFL set in place for exactly this reason with unvaccinated players. If you remember, they're not supposed to fly on the same flight as the vaccinated players. There's rules about where you can eat, where you can meet, like your remote contact. Like there's all these rules. And the Packers clearly were trying to look the other way here, I guess, with this sort of like loophole, so to speak, that Rodgers was trying to conceive on his own. It seems pretty unrealistic on its face, but this could start something. You're talking about this season and the repercussions, like even in a world where Jordan Love plays well and then there's sort of like a natural handoff, if they like violated a bunch of rules here, the NFL kind of has to make an example out of them, right? Like, couldn't we see here like some draft picks docked or like a huge fine or something else that could really come out here? I think that this could set up a big problem long term for them.
It could set up a problem long term, especially because, again, if he's been violating these rules. Now, it appears that, generally speaking, some of the rules are not totally followed, like the flying rule, right? Like, are teams taking two planes for the four unvaccinated players? Probably not, right? Like, I don't think that some of these have been followed to the T. The problem is now, when you have a high-profile player testing positive who's unvaccinated, you're going to be scrutinized now every time Rodgers was seen in a press conference without wearing a mask. Anytime he was seen at a practice without wearing a mask or a preseason game without wearing a mask, it's all going to be scrutinized. And the Packers knew he was not vaccinated. So if they are not making him follow the protocols, I'd imagine the NFL is going to care. You might say, well, the NFL has shown, you know, they not care about certain things. They care about this. Remember last year when they made the Broncos an example, right? And they could have had a couple guys play. But no, all your quarterbacks are out and you're playing tomorrow. And they could have delayed that game. We saw them shuffle the schedule all season long. Nope, you're done. And so I think the NFL will take this very seriously. Will hammer Rodgers and the Packers if it's found they willingly violated protocols. And again, if you're just from a football perspective, I think the Packers have the Chiefs and then the Seahawks in back-to-back weeks. So you're probably not getting Rodgers back for the Seattle game. And now two games that were winnable. I mean, the Chiefs game, and we'll get into that in a second. I mean, they would have won that game with Rodgers. They might still win the game with Love. I don't know. But they were winning with Rodgers, right? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So this is just it's selfish of him to do it. It is. And I know people will, you know, you can yell and scream at me in my mentions about my comments here. But guys, I go back to college football, to Tom Brady, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney. They all got vaccinated, right? Because they want to win. In the end, they want to win. And they'll put aside their personal differences when it comes to the vaccine. And I'm not saying that Tom Brady, Nick Saban, or Dabo Sweeney are anti-vax, but I'm just pointing out guys that we look at as maybe on the conservative side. And they went and got the vax, right? Because they know that it helps them win. And that is the most important thing to a lot of these players and coaches.
I would just say that the point here for the Packers, like, this could be a sliding doors moment, okay? Jordan Love is going to be making an enormous, high-profile start. Devontae Adams is back.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs are wounded. If Jordan Love comes out and wins this game, this could be the moment. Like, this could be the moment of the story where we look back on Rodgers' story with Favre, and it was like, well, he was waffling on retirement, so they just said, like, hey, Rodgers, you're the guy now. This could be it. It could start this week, and that would be just unbelievable, the way the saga has played out. And by the way, it proves the Packers were right. You have to have a good backup quarterback, no matter how reliable your quarterback, your starter is. There are times where you're going to need your backup quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, no matter how well Love plays, Rodgers not losing his job this year. But to your point, it's about next year, right? The ramifications after that. And what happens next year with Aaron Rodgers. I saw PFT tweet out that his punishment should be going to the Washington football team. So I'm sure, Matt, you would very much enjoy Rodgers on your team. But, you know, there's going to be ramifications moving forward. Because your point, if Jordan Love plays well, Rodgers is out of there quickly after the season. If Jordan Love doesn't play well and Rodgers wants to stay, then there's more leverage for him to obviously stay, right? And so we'll see how quickly, you know, Jordan Love gets up to speed here. But it's a big story, man. It's a big story because
it's a huge
story. Top quarterback in the NFL. And again, a lot of the other ones have gotten the shot. They're not doing homeopathic treatments in Canada that, you know, of course the NFL was going to say no to that. But here we are. So Packers and Chiefs, the point spread has very much shifted over the last couple of hours. And we'll get to that in a second. The other story I want to talk about before we get to the picks is Odell Beckham. So Odell was not traded by the Browns, but his dad basically retweeted a video or shared a video on Instagram detailing all the times Odell has been open this season. I watched some of the video. Some of those were accurate. Some were not. Like, some were like really like throws that maybe only Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers can make, not Baker Mayfield. But nonetheless, Odell today on Wednesday, as we record this, was barred from the team. Essentially, he's no longer part of the team. Like Stefanski is like, yeah, he's done. He's not part of our team anymore. And they're going to have to move on from him. They're going to have to cut him. Trade deadline has passed already. But this begs the question, like, why did they just trade him for a ham sandwich yesterday? Like, what are you doing, guys?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I'm curious, like, I'll remind the listeners, this is something I often will remind Jeff and our colleagues in a group chat, that on the crazy one-handed catch against Dallas, the first guy to run down the field and hug Odell Beckham was Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah.
You should watch the clip. It's kind of unbelievable. I always smile watching that. I'm kind of curious, like, Odell has this sort of label now as like this kind of like odd dude, I guess. Like, that would be the kind way of saying it, is like he's kind of burned out now with two different teams. It's been rocky throughout. He hasn't been good in a while, like, or at least reliable. I'm curious, like, is this a guy you'd bet on if you were out there and could make a trade or pick him up?
That's a good question. So, you know, in New York, he was reliable, then he got hurt. I mean, it wasn't like he was a bad locker room guy, in my opinion. I play with Odell. I thought he's a fine locker room guy, but obviously did not work in Cleveland. And he's a diva wide receiver. This is what they are, right? They're all of them are like this. There's no wide receivers that are not divas. It's an individualistic position, right? You have to be an individual to be good at this, right? Yeah, you need the ball thrown to you, but it's an individual position. You have to beat a corner one-on-one. You have to then make a catch and whatnot. So, of course, there's going to be a little bit of me and selfishness in that. He wants the ball. I think he could help some teams. You tell me he couldn't help New England a little bit.
Can help. How about the Giants?
The Giants.
The Giants have no receivers. It's ironic.
But if he gets waived, he's not going to go to a non-playoff team, probably.
Yeah, but let's see who even wants it. But I'm just saying it's ironic that the Giants are out there. They're like, well, we can't do anything because Dante Pettis is injured. And, it's like, man, if only they had Odell Beckham, that would have been something.
Kadarius Toney can't play. Yeah. So it is, it's interesting. I mean, the Browns, and we'll get to them in a little bit. I mean, the Browns are kind of a dumpster fire right now. They've been a big disappointment this season. And
yeah, they have.
I don't know what's going to change that, because now there's infighting and Odell's not there and Baker's hurt. And, you know, we'll get more into them as we continue to move it along. But yeah, I think that's kind of the big news of the moment. And we'll move on to our picks this week very quickly on college. So Oregon.
Yeah, let's talk about the playoff rankings. Really,
oh yes,
quick,
let's do
Jeff.
The playoff rankings. Yes, please.
Yeah, so they got unveiled last night. Again, we're recording this Wednesday. Oregon making the top four was a bit of a surprise to some. Bad break for Cincinnati coming in at number six. That was a bit of a surprise. I'm curious what your big takeaways are, and try to leave your Oregon homerism out of this as much as you can.
Well, I was shocked they were fourth. I thought it was going to be Cincinnati at four, and then Oregon at five, and Ohio State at six. I thought Oregon would be behind Ohio State, but they beat them, and that has to be part of this discussion. Yep. I was, again, they're basically telling Cincinnati that no matter what you do, you're not going to be in the playoff unless everyone else loses. It's not fine. I understand their logic on that. The logic makes sense. The logic is fine. I would have put them in the top four, though. But they're saying, like, look, yeah, you beat Notre Dame, but who else have you played, right? We can't put you in over someone who's played a better schedule. Now, to their defense, Matt, all you can do is play teams on your schedule. Like, Cincinnati should have no, it shouldn't be a discussion with them because they play on the schedule. Part of it, I think, too, is that if you put them at four, let's just hypothetically talk about this. You put them at four, Oregon wins out, or Ohio State wins out, or either or both. Oklahoma wins out. You know, are you going to remove Cincinnati, who started at four, has won all their games and nothing to deserve to move out of four? On the last weekend of the year, you're going to have Oklahoma pass them. Like, that's kind of where, like, and that's the thing about, as an Oregon fan, I'm like, look, if we went out, we're 12-1, man. You can't drop us in the rankings. How we put someone in front of us? We've done what you asked us to do. We're four to start. We've won five games. We have to finish off the last four plus the Battle Trench game. You can't move us down anymore. So, but the top six was not even, it was, you know, BYU at 15. It was Minnesota being ranked. It was three-loss Mississippi State being ranked. I mean, there was a lot of things in this that did not make sense to me. Again, I want to make it. I think Cincinnati should be four. I get why they're not. Oklahoma being eight as a 9-0 team, the only 9-0 team in the country, is kind of fascinating to me too.
Crazy.
But there's a month left of football. This will all get worked out.
Yeah, that's. I think they, you know, they dropped this early so that people like us get fired up. I mean, Oklahoma to me is. It's definitely the standout. I mean, it's like if they went out, they still have two road games in the conference left. They have Baylor And they have Oklahoma State on the road. It's like, if they win all those games, like, and look, like, how do they not jump in there over somebody like, you know, Oregon or Ohio State? I don't know.
They will. I don't think they're going to win the last three games. Again, they're at Baylor, and then it's Iowa State sandwich in the middle, and then they're at
OK State,
and OK State, and they're all three ranked teams. So it might, well, that might work itself out. Alabama being two makes sense, but look, it makes sense from this perspective. You're going off of best team versus most deserving, right? I mean, they're the best, second best team. Are they most deserving? Well, I don't know. Now we'll find out, right? They lose to Georgia, they're probably out. They beat Georgia, then both Georgia and Alabama are in. A lot of football left to go. In were your Maryland Terps anywhere here?
Not quite. I don't know. This cuts off at 10, so maybe they're number 11. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think they might have been. I just know that the 7-win Sark and the Texas Longhorns aren't anywhere to be found here. So, not surprising.
The production team getting crushed here by Jeff. Yeah. Guy gets in the BCS standings once and has to talk all that shit. All right, man. Speaking of Oregon,
National championship games played since 2005. Oregon 2, Texas 0, just FYI.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, so let's get to the Oregon-Washington game this weekend. Oregon 6.5, 7.5 point favorites. Washington's our rival. We hate them. They hate us, and we're going to smash them into oblivion. Washington is not good in things you need to be good at. They're one of the least explosive teams in the country. They cannot run the ball, and they don't stop the run. Like, they're the worst at doing all of that. Oregon is up to now, I believe, 11th in overall offensive, 13th in overall offensive production. They're 6th in success rate. They're 11th in points per drive is Oregon. They rarely have three and outs. They're 12th in the country in that. They're 3rd in stuff rate, which means that, you know, need a yard, they're getting it. On third down, they're number 10 on third down in the country. They're number 3 in the country in converting red zone opportunities to touchdowns, 77% of the time in the red zone they score a touchdown. Washington is, they're good in their back end, their secondary. Secondary is really good. But Matt, on offense, 125th in the country in explosiveness. That's not going to win you a game against a good football team. A quarterback adjusted air yards per attempt of 5.7. That's not winning you many football games. Their yards before contact by their leading running back, 1.4 yards per contact. Oregon, by the way, 3.8 yards per contact. Before contact, I should say. Like this, I'm just telling you, Oregon's going to smash them. It's going to be a 14 to 17 point win. They're now playing for style points, which they had not done all season. You have to now. You have to play for style points. And I think this will be a week that they do that. Hmm. All right, moving on. Oh, boy.
Playing the 7. All right, Auburn at Texas A&M. You want to do
that? Yeah, we'll do Auburn at A&M. So I'm going to take Auburn here plus the 4.5, just because I think these teams are very close in alignment. Now, A&M is off a bye, and Jimbo Fisher's 3-6 against the spread off a bye as the A&M head coach, including bowl game. So he has not been great off a bye. I mean, he even lost to Mississippi State straight up a couple years ago. You know, where Auburn has a couple advantages. They're better at finishing drives on offense, and they're better in the red zone. They convert to touchdowns in the red zone at 66%, while A&M is near 50%. Like that's kind of, there's a couple things here, a little bit of difference between these schools, and that's where they matter. Special teams, by the way, both really good. Their personnel up front, defensive line, offensive line, pretty good. So I'll take the plus 4.5 with Auburn here in this only game this weekend between ranked opponents. Hmm.
How about the Big Ten game, Ohio State, Nebraska?
Oh, geez. So I'm going to take Nebraska here plus the 15.
Ooh.
Don't feel great about it, but here's why I'm going to do it. So Scott Frost is on his last legs at Nebraska. And this is kind of his last stand right here. They have to win this game to even consider keeping his job. And when Ohio State has played two defenses that are worth anything, Penn State and Oregon, their offense was not as good. And Nebraska's defense, guys, is pretty good. The 19th in the country, 11th in points per drive, 5th in limited explosive plays. They get after the passer. They're able to hit the passer, stop the run. It's a pretty good defense. And I think we're going to see Ohio State, you know, again, they scored, what was it, 28 against Oregon, and now they just scored 33 against Penn State. But remember, one of those was a thick six, right? A fat guy touchdown. So their offense is just not as proficient against these better defenses. This game is in Nebraska. It's their first monster road game since the beginning of the season against Minnesota. Nebraska's offense scares the shit out of me. They're not as bad efficiency-wise as you'd imagine, but they're really bad in the red zone on third down. So I'm kind of concerned about this. But home game, Nebraska, you know, all the money in Ohio State, Matt, this fits all of our principles.
All right, we got one more here. A popular team with a lot of gripes in this playoff thing is Wake Forest. They're at UNC this week. What do you think?
So the total is 76 in this game.
Wow.
And just for fun, I want to bet the over. Both defenses are not very good. And both offenses, man, they scored a high rate. I mean, Wake Forest this year allowed, 59 points to Army? 56 to Army. They allowed 37 to Syracuse, 34 to Louisville. I mean, North Carolina is going to score a ton of points. Wake will score a ton of points. What's odd is Wake is the underdog at North Carolina. Wake is ranked 8th in the country, Matt, and they're getting a point in this game. So far this year, when an unranked team plays a ranked team, and that unranked team is favored, and they've covered 8 of 14. But they've won 9 of 14. So, like, if you're picking North Carolina here, you think they're going to win the game outright, most likely. So there is a little bit of a trend to unranked favorite playing ranked favorite and going that direction.
Interesting. All right, man. So we're already 20 minutes deep in this thing. Should we move to our NFL picks?
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Let's move to NFL. Another winning week, 3-2. We're digging ourselves out. And there's a lot of games that I think we like this week.
There are. One of them is not the game tonight. If you're listening to this, the Thursday night game, the Jets are going to Indy. The line we're seeing is 10.5. There's no chance we're taking the Jets here. So is this a layoff?
Is there a prop for what part of the game Carson Wentz will have a debilitating turnover?
I mean, he doesn't usually have them. That's the thing. Is last week he kind of became the old Carson Wentz. He turned back into a pumpkin on Halloween. Hey, look at that.
I love the argument, by the way, that it's good he threw the ball away, because if he took a safety, the game was over. You're like, I mean, fair, but I don't think he was thinking that in his head. Like, throw interception. Just a bad situation.
The left-handed him. Throw, yeah. The pick six.
Yeah, we're staying away from this. You called the Jets last week. I could totally see it let down this spot, and they just go to Indy, get smashed, but we stay away from Thursday games. And if we like them, we tell you. Like, we like Seattle a couple weeks ago. Just can't do this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Colts and Survivor this week.
Okay.
I'm starting to overthink those picks a little bit. So, all right, we'll see. Okay, moving on to Sunday, we've got the Falcons at the Saints is our first game. The line we're looking at is the Saints by 5.5. Michael Thomas out for the season. Kind of forgot he was in the league. Not sure who the Saints quarterback is here. That may dictate which way I'm leaning.
I see a bunch of sixes across the board.
Well, then even better.
Yeah. I see a bunch of sixes here. So I think a consensus is six right now. So
six it is.
Yeah. I think we'll take the six here. All right. Are we breaking one of our rules, Matt?
Yeah, because we're taking another one of our rules, which is bet against Trevor Siemian whenever we get the chance. Trevor Siemian potentially is a 6-point favorite. We're still not sure if Taysom Hill is going to play. If he is, he probably hasn't practiced yet. Maybe he's practicing as we're taping this. So we're either getting Taysom Hill with no practice, or we're getting Trevor Siemian as a 6-point favorite. Either way, it's the Falcons plus 6.
Oh, man. Falcons are 32nd in DVOA. Whew.
But look, I mean, come on! What, like, are you saying that it's a bad pick, or are you saying that like this line just feels crazy to me? The Saints' hype, by the way, has just never been higher. They match up super well with the Bucs. They got that win in a game that I feel like everyone watched. Also, the pros, Joe's here. This is an enormous split. We've got 63% of the bets on the Saints and 74% of the money on the Falcons. This is classic.
Yeah, I know you're right. We'll break one of our rules here. Broke it last week, take Indy. That didn't work for us because Carson Wentz likes throwing the ball to the other team. So we'll go Atlanta here. I'm with you. Plus 6 points without knowing who the quarterback is. I do worry, though, that if Hill is the quarterback, they'll just pound Atlanta with the run game like they did last year in that contest. That's my only concern here, is if we take Atlanta and Taysom Hill plays, Atlanta just can't stop the run well enough. But we'll find out, obviously. Look, we said with our Cowboys pick last week after Dak injury news. I think it's funny. We talked about it. We're like, yeah, I still like the Cowboys favorite. And we were right. They won the game.
That's right. Yep. One of those rules has always been against Kirk Cousins in primetime.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of the Cowboys, they're playing Denver this week. Dallas laying 9. Is that the line we want to go with, Jeff? Now,
yeah, so. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter because I don't like this game at all.
The
Broncos they won a game, which is good, but I think they're pretty bad right now. Dallas is off a primetime victory. All the money's on Dallas, and Dallas probably out without their left tackle. We don't know if Dak is back quite yet. I think if Dak's not back, you take the Broncos plus the points here. But for me, it's a hard stay away.
Yeah, if Cooper Rush is in, I guess I would take Denver. I watched Denver last week a fair amount because they played my terrible football team, and they're awful. Like, they have a lot of talent. They're the end of the game, their clock management, their play calling, their execution is just terrible. They're just carried with some talent at like wide receiver and corner. They are a really bad team. I'd like to generally fade them more. If Dak is in, I would consider the 10 or less, but... we'll pass for now. The next one up here, man, Patriots, Panthers. This one's bounced around 3, 3.5, 4. It keeps getting bet towards the Patriots. I mean, we don't know the deal with Sam Darnold, so it's hard to really have an opinion here unless you're really strong on the Pats and want to talk.
They said he was back at practice. The hard part of this is, you know, everyone's going to bet on New England. I don't kind of want to be in that spot, but I think they are going to kind of dominate this game. But I don't want to be having to sit there and watch this game and hope they cover with Mac Jones on the road, like in Carolina.
Yep.
I think this is a state. This is kind of a classic. You just take the Panthers and hold your nose. But we have a couple other of those coming up. And I'm not doing it, especially with how bad they've looked lately. And yeah, they beat the lowly Falcons, but the Patriots are playing good football right now.
We just, no certainty at quarterback. That's just, we got to stay away from those. Ugh, pass. All right. Vikings, Ravens, Baltimore off the bye is a 6-point favorite against these reeling, is it fair to say, Vikings?
Yeah.
What's your take?
What's the number at? It's a Vegas
one,
right?
Six.
A six? Oh, man. Ugh. The problem with Baltimore is that just, you know, the injuries are so much.
Yeah.
But you have to figure off of bye, they're healthier and they're feeling good. They've studied the Vikings for 2 weeks. I would be comfortable taking Baltimore here. But I don't think it's one of our better plays. But I do think that this is a spot where they do kind of hammer the Vikings. The Vikings look dead in the water. And this is a way to just kind of crush their season. Every time we keep thinking, oh, Minnesota's going to bounce back, they're going to make some plays, they just sort of don't. So I'm okay with taking Baltimore here in this spot.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. If I recall correctly, Harbaugh is very good off of a bye.
Yes.
I believe he's 11-2. I'm just trying to quickly confirm that. I'm not saying it's either 10-3 or 11-2. So they're going to be well prepared for this one. I mean, I will say, though, Baltimore is a little bit of like, they're really inconsistent. Yes. Like some weeks they look unbelievable and some weeks they look like so beatable. And Minnesota's kind of the same. Like Minnesota, you have faith in them 1 week and then Kirk Cousins lays an egg. This is a really hard one to predict for that reason. It's like, who's going to show up? My lean was the Vikings plus the six, because I still think that they're pretty good and they just had like a really crappy game last week. But I don't know. I don't feel strongly either way.
I think we have better plays here. I cannot back the Vikings here, man.
Yeah. Well, let's maybe align on this one. We've got Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a short home favorite at 2.5. This is going to bounce to 2.5 and 3 probably for the next day. Cincinnati?
I think so here. And this is a big line movement, but it's not enough. It's not past, you know, the critical number. This opened up at like, look at the line was Browns -4. The Browns have not looked good against any team that can play football this season. Like, we keep thinking like, oh, it's going to change around. It's going to change up. It's like, it just hasn't. And also, too, look.
How?
The Bengals got embarrassed last weekend. And they're going to come out with a little piss and vinegar, man. And they're going to come out like wanting to prove that their record and all the accolades they have been justified. And I just don't think that right now with the injuries that Cleveland has and with Baker beat up and this Odell drama, they're going to be able to keep this game within a field goal. I'm going to take the Bengals here minus the 2.5.
For sure. Bengals run defense is top 5 this year in yards per carry. You mentioned Baker's injury. Also, like, everyone's down on the Bengals now, but they were in a trap game on their third straight road game last week, which at least one of us saw coming. So I'm going to say that this is my favorite of the week. I really like the Bengals, especially under 3. Got to do it.
I'm with you. 100%. All right.
One down and maybe Atlanta as well. Gosh, the Bills are laying 14 to 14.5 in Jacksonville. I've got a great nugget here. The last time the Bills were favored by more than 2 touchdowns, 1992, Jim Kelly at Indy, and the Bills were 16.5-point favorites and lost straight up in overtime. There you go.
A couple things this year. Teams who won by 14+, favored by 14+, the next game are 66% against the spread, including 5-0 road neutral. That changed your mind?
Not really.
Yeah. Me neither. Yeah.
2 touchdowns. I mean, at some point, Buffalo just can't keep blowing teams out. Not because they're not capable of it, but like, why? They have so many like cupcakes on their schedule. It's like one of these games is going to end up being semi-close just because they don't show up. I don't know. If we're taking 14, you could maybe 14.5. No chance.
Yeah, I'm out on this game. Unless we're taking Jacksonville, I don't think we are.
No chance. God no. Yeah. No. Gosh, I didn't even consider that. Okay, well, I mean, it's possible. I can't believe you're going to make me watch this game because I know that you like this one. It's Houston going to Miami. It's 6.5 right now. Tyrod Taylor, apparently is back in practice. Is that why you have a lean in this game?
Well, even if David Mills plays, like, why is Miami 6.5-point favorites better than Houston? Like, Miami is not good. They're 1-7. Right? Am I right on that? 1-8? They've won one game. One game this season.
There was week one. They've lost 7 in a row.
And we look at them like they were last year's team, guys. They're not a good football team right now. And their point differential this year is -95. Mm. I mean, the Texans are -122. But, like, I will gladly take the points here with the Texans what was that 6.5 right now?
Yep.
Like the Dolphins suck. And then this whole thing with Tua and like, look, the Texans inability to have much of any talent. Like they just traded their best pass rusher. I mean, it's scary. I get that. I am just, I can't believe I'm, if Tyrod plays, this number is going to steam on down to 3. Before kickoff, I'll grab it now at 6.5.
Yeah. All right. Texans are in. Good note here. The Texans have the Dolphins first round pick. How pathetic. The Dolphins sneaky are like in the worst spot of any team in the league. They really are not in good shape here. So, all right. We're taking the Texans. Gosh, we haven't gotten to Henry Ruggs yet, but I mean, maybe we can quickly talk about that here along with this game. His Raiders, his former team now, are going to the Giants. The Raiders are 3-point road favorites. I'm curious if this line moves at all over the next couple of days. Not that he would have shaped it much, but just like what a strange situation the Raiders are in. I don't know. I'm curious, you know, if there's anything to say about Ruggs other than how sad.
Yeah, he should spend the max jail sentence, in my opinion, for what he did. You know, this isn't a guy without resources. You have numbers to call to find you a ride. You have the resources to pay for a private chauffeur for an event or going to the bar. You have Uber. Like, you have many ways to not be speeding 156 miles an hour on, it wasn't the highway, on a street, and then hitting someone and unfortunately killing someone. And it seems like I read the details of it, they kind of leaking out. I mean, horrific death, going 127 miles an hour as you hit a car in front of you. Like, you should spend every second of the jail sentence in jail. Like, whatever the maximum, people will say, well, it's an accident. Okay, well, too bad. Like, I don't stand for drinking and driving because A, you shouldn't do it, but B, it's because you have the resources to not do it. You have Ubers, you have phone, you can call a phone number. Like, every NFL team gives you the number of like a private limo service, or just call a fucking coach. Hey, coach, man, I'm shit-faced, man. Like, can you come get me? Can you call me a car? Like, you know what I mean? Instead, he drove recklessly and he killed someone. He just spent every second of that sentence in jail, in my opinion. But, So obviously, how does this affect the team? It's different than a coach being fired. I mean, this is your teammate who killed someone. Like, it's not just like he got a DUI. It's he killed someone with his car. And the Raiders are off a bye. They're playing better football. The Giants suck at covering home games. I mean, they're atrocious at covering home games under Daniel Jones. Everyone's hurt for the Giants. I mean, there's going to be boos, and there's going to be what? I mean, it's going to be like they're 5-12 the last 17 against the spread at MetLife. There's gonna be boos and like just it's gonna be. I stay away, man.
Yeah, it's sort of hard to think about this as a football game given the situation there, and just terrible, terrible tragedy at the end of the day. I don't want to bet on this game. I just have, just a strange feeling about it. I don't know. It's a pass. Why don't we just move on? The Chargers, another AFC West team, they're going to Philly. Gosh, what a strange line, Jeff. This is a 2-point road favorite for the Chargers. I feel like 3 weeks ago, this would have been like a 14-point line, and it's really shifted as the Chargers have sort of repositioned themselves. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't.
Damn, this is down 1.5 and 1 even in some places. Sorry.
This is an odd line to me. It's mostly down at like, you get it at 1. Well, I guess we'll take it at 2. But you're just telling me that Philly's going to win this game outright? Like, that's what we're talking about, right? Like, they're not going to win this game. Yep. Now, my concern is the Chargers have played bad football the last couple of weeks, and they can't stop the run. And the Eagles are trying to run the football, I think. They ran the ball pretty well against the Lions. But they're coming off a huge victory. Chargers need a win in the worst way. I would gladly take the Chargers here, -2. Short road dog. I'm good with it.
Yeah, this is just, I agree. I think all of us are overthinking it a little bit because of the Chargers run D, like you said. Like, if Boston Scott and Jordan Howard were good running backs, they would have been good before last week when they played the Lions. A classic overinflation and everyone's down on Herbert all of a sudden. I am 100% on board with the Chargers here.
Right? It just seems like an odd line. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm way in on this one.
So are we taking 2 or 1.5?
Man.
Let's split
the difference. Here. So let's take 1.5.
I'm just curious what the consensus, because I know this is not the best way to do a podcast at times, but lines do change before we talk here. I see consensus at 1.5.
Let's take the 1.5.
All right.
Yeah, let's do that. MGM has it 1.5. PointsBet has it at 1.
Yeah, but I don't see many other people with 1. So we unless we want to buy a half a point.
Yeah, 1.5 is good.
1.5 is fine. All right, let's do it. Next up.
Next one. Jeez. Packers, Chiefs. Jordan Love, Chiefs, this line moved, I think, 5 points, 4.5, 5 points. It's up to 7.5 now for the Chiefs.
I think this line actually got back to almost a pick 'em at one point.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I'm staying away. The Chiefs' offense is still in disarray, and their defense is better, and they might not you know, they might do well against Jordan Love, but they can also give up like 24 points and it doesn't, like, we saw last weekend how many backup quarterbacks played well, like did some good things.
Yeah.
I am not touching this game, man. I ain't doing it.
I mean, if I had to pick it, is it crazy to say I would take the Packers? I'm not saying we should put this in our mix.
That'd be the smart thing to do.
Like we see this all the time with teams that come up against like a tough situation. Like last week with the Bucs and the Saints. Like Jameis goes down, they're playing the Bucs. The Bucs come all the way back. Like they should have won that game, but like I feel like the Raiders when Gruden got fired, it's like when confronted with adversity, I feel like teams like to rise to the challenge. I really think that Jordan Love, this is Jordan Love's career potentially here. Yeah. I like Green Bay plus +7.5, but not enough to say that like, yeah, everyone should go bet it or agree with me. One last thing on this game. This is a real test for Matt LaFleur. Like LaFleur's record, like this is like the Brady Belichick thing all over again. He's had such a good record since he got to Green Bay. It's like, okay, do it without Rodgers against the Kansas City Chiefs on the road. Like, can you do it? Let's see. I mean, tough place to have your first start.
Agreed.
Jordan Love.
All right. So the next game is Cardinals at Niners, and you have a lean on this. I don't have a great one. So convince me why we're taking the Niners this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up this stat that I got from our friends at the Action Network on my phone here. So basically, my theory, Jeff, is this, that right now we're sort of halfway through the season, and it's usually around now. Every year I write in my iPhone like a thing I learned from the season from betting for the whole season, right? And every year I write down, remember that the season restarts in week 10. Like every year, like there's just this shift where at the beginning of the year, you're like, I'm sure this team is good. I'm going to keep betting them. It was around now last year where the Chiefs just like started to fall apart, right? It was around now last year, the Cardinals were 6-3 and they were first in the NFC West and they ended up, I don't even think making the playoffs off the top of my head. Cliff Kingsbury, this is the thing that supports that. Everywhere he's ever been, he has closed the season poorly. When he was at Texas Tech, he went 1-5 in his last six games in 2013, 2-8 in his last 10 in 14, 2-4 in 15, 2-6 in 16, 2-6 in 17, and 0-5 in 18, gets fired, goes to the Cardinals, finishes 2-7 last year, 2-5, or 2 years ago, 2-5 last year. He doesn't close the season well. People figure him out. And I think Kyler Murray, he looked a little banged up last week. They didn't have a ton of fire. I just feel like right now, this could be the week where it's San Francisco. They get Kittle back. They're starting to look a little bit San Francisco-y off of their bye. The San Francisco always plays well against the Cardinals historically. I just feel like that this is the week where we could capitalize on the Cardinals being a little overinflated. And the fact that this line is so close proves to me, I think, that Vegas thinks the 49ers are going to win this one.
I mean, Kyler Murray's injury is interesting, right? He's got his sprained ankle. He had a shoulder thing a couple weeks ago. He's getting beat to shit. He's getting hit a bunch lately. We know the Niners' defensive line can get after things. I'm inclined to believe you because I think that we get signals sent like, why is a line the way it's supposed to be? And you're like, like that seems odd, right? So what number do you have?
1.5, depending on the book. Yeah. FanDuel 1.5.
I'll roll the Niners. The Niners are kind of in a must-win situation right now. Again, Murray's a little beat up. The Niners get some players back this week, right? The Kittle might be back this week. They're not going against the spread as the 49ers, but I'm good with taking the Niners here plus the one.
I think one of the problems, that the reason that the 49ers haven't been good against the spread is they've been overrated all season. And now they're finally, everyone's kind of off of them because they just haven't been good. But yeah. They looked pretty damn good last week. Chicago tried to stay in that game. Justin Fields had his best game. In San Francisco, I was way out on them, and they more than covered on the road. I feel like this could be the week where it's like, whoa, San Francisco back? Like, that's coming. It's just a matter of time.
I'm fine with fading the Cardinals. I mean, it's not been good for us this year, but I have no problem doing it. Anytime you want me to do it, I'm in.
All right. Well, we'll see if my little theory about week 10 or week 9 is right. All right, Sunday night game. Man, the Titans are at the Rams. No Derrick Henry. Probably not Von Miller either, who didn't play last week against Washington for Denver. We'll see. Do you see any value here? 7.5 is the number.
I like this. I texted you, I think, Sunday night or Monday morning and said, before the Henry news, I said, I like the Rams this week at home against the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't anymore. Now that's over. It was like a 5. Now it's a 7, 7.5. There's a very big, like, we need to come out strong without Derrick Henry vibe from the Titans, right? And I worry that that might carry, you know, if they come out fast and they come out scoring some points, they'll be able to kind of roll that throughout the game. The Rams, I feel like they don't play as well at home, right? They play better on the road a little bit there. I would not touch this game. What do you like?
I didn't really have an opinion. I was hoping you'd be strong one way or the other, but
if I had to lean somewhere over a touchdown, I would take Tennessee.
I think I would take the Rams. I think Tennessee, I think your general stance on running backs is well known, but just to drill down, if there are some new listeners, like, you just don't value them as positionally. Like, no. It's just your take. Like, Derrick Henry to you, I think this line ended up moving like a point or something without Derrick Henry. And like, if Davante Adams last week moved the line like 3 points, like, I think Derrick Henry should move the line like 5 points. Like, this guy has 100 more carries than Joe Mixon, almost, who's the second most in the league. Like, this guy is their entire team. Like, I just don't understand how, like, Tennessee is going to go and keep this one close if they can't run the ball. Like, yeah. What's their offense?
Well, they can throw the ball still, though. Like, that's the thing.
But their throw, it's all play action. Like, when you watch them, it's not like they're going to be like, cool, we're going to put Tannehill in the pocket and let him operate. Like, what are they without the threat of the run?
We'll find out, but I do not know if this is what I want to wager on right now. Like, not knowing what they're going to do.
Yeah. That's like, fair. Over, I respect Mike Vrabel a lot.
Over a touchdown?
Yeah. Titans are 6-2, man. They're coming off some big wins. Like, I think they're, I don't mean to trash them, I think they're a really good team, but I just think that the Derrick Henry thing, could be like a 30-point game. Like, it could be.
95% of the money is on the Rams.
It's pretty wild.
So Rams -7.5 is what you put on the maybes?
I mean, how are we looking here? I don't think we have a ton of contenders here.
And the hook, too. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the hook stinks.
All right. Let's finish. Definitely not betting this last game.
Ugh, I know. It's Chicago at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's laying 6. Because we're not taking Chicago, right? Like, that would be the move.
No.
I mean, I don't know what to do with Pittsburgh, man. Like, they just keep winning games. I don't think they're good at all. And Chicago is just a mystery team to me every week. Like, and this is a terrible matchup for them. It's sort of like a tougher 49ers.
Yeah, I don't want to touch this game. Not at all. Like the Steelers won that game with deep. I mean, I think that if you're looking at this game, you think like Justin Fields under props, like whatever his under passing total is, you just take that, because the Steelers are going to hit and batter him all game. He won't throw the ball very much, but the Bears defense is okay. Like, the Steelers can't score. They won 15-10 last weekend. It's like they won this game 35-30. So I would stay away from this game. I'm not going to touch it unless you're doing a Justin Fields, like, under any under props.
I feel like this is a great spot for a tease here. I think this is like a great Steelers down to pick them, like, that, you know, throw them in a tease, you know, maybe do the Chiefs to -1, -1.5, something like that.
Yeah, there's some good tease opportunities. You mentioned the Chiefs is a tease opportunity.
Colts, maybe.
Who?
Colts, maybe. Yeah, if you want to do the 7.
You're not under a field goal. I mean, if you get like the Cowboys are still at 10.
Yeah.
The Cowboys come down under 9. Like, yeah. Right? Right?
Bills, maybe tease the Bills down to 7.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, we are not here to take teases, Jeff. We've got to take some. I mean, we've got to take some actual lines.
You tease the Giants up to 9 if you wanted to. All right. So far, it looks like we have.
or you could throw money in the Hudson River. That's fine.
Yeah, I know. Atlanta +6, Cincinnati -2.5, Houston +6.5, Chargers -1.5, SF +1, and the other one we said was a maybe was Rams -7.5.
We'll lose the Rams. You're not feeling it. I'm not really feeling it either. I sort of spontaneously found myself making that argument. I really like Cincy. I really like the Niners.
And you like Atlanta.
And I like Atlanta, and I'm good with the Chargers for sure.
And I like Houston.
And Houston makes sense. Yep, Houston's a good bet. I think we ended up with five good ones when I felt like the whole podcast, I was like, geez, I don't feel like we have any, but we do.
Well, we were what, 6-4 in the last 2 weeks? So we're digging out.
Well, the schedule gods gave us a favor here. There's no Lions and no Washington.
Oh, my God.
We've lost every single week.
And we did get, by the way, a little bit of luck yesterday, this past weekend, for the first time all season with the Bills late cover at the end there. So I'll take
that's right.
I'll take it, man. We have a lot of we're still like not even – are we even at 40% yet? Nope, 37%. But guess what? We were at like 24% 2 weeks ago. So – We're digging our way out, Matt. We're digging our way out.
Inch by inch.
Please follow us on any social media, but also rate and review the podcast. If you're listening this long, you must like the podcast. So please give us a 5-star review. As usual, we are presented by the Varsity Podcast Network. A lot happening in the National Football League, College Football Playoffs as well. Join us next week on Monday for our college football show and on Tuesday for a recap of everything that happens in the National Football League. Have a great weekend, everyone. Good luck on your wagers. Talk to you guys Monday.